reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We're going to get into an issue today that I believe is timely. It's a theological, doctrinal, biblical, Christian issue. It's an issue that is being bounded about, discussed in different segments of society, in America, especially in the past several years. And that's a question. The issue is in question form. What is revival? What is revival? We have a lot of people that are saying that revival is taking place today. We have some that are saying that there will be a massive worldwide revival in these last days. What does the Bible say? Does the Bible speak about revival? What are the ingredients of a revival? How do we know if we are having a revival? If someone gets saved, someone says yes to Jesus, is that revival? Those are some of the things we'll talk about today in the juxtaposition of the subject. What is revival? And lest I forget it, after a brief monologue, we're going to open the telephone lines and invite you to call in. That number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. That's the telephone call that will get you through to our mics and allow you to put in your nickel's worth, some call it 2 cents worth. Want to hear from you today. What are your thoughts? Are we in revival? Will we have revival? What is revival? Is revival possible in these last days? The events that are taking place in the parachurches, the events that are taking place in the special meetings, the events that are taking place on the campuses of some of the universities and schools, is that revival? I want us to analyze it based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, the truth book. As we face the issues, we look to the truth book for answers. Ladies and gentlemen, John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God, where the Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the statement of George Orwell, the secularist, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." And I find that to be factually true today. We have those that will reject and deny the truth. We have those that want to bifurcate truth. We have those that want to say, "Well, I have my own version of truth." In fact, that's the statement coming from a recent survey of the millennials. Headline of that article says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, the article opens with these words from Webster's Dictionary. "Truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being the facts." But yet 55% of that age group, the millennial age group, say that each person determines their own version of truth, that there's no absolute truth. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand truth is vital and necessary. Jesus says, I am truth. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline that says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And may I say to you that truth is needful, necessary, and vital, not just in the secular world, not just in the political world, but in the theological, doctrinal, biblical world. We need to stick to truth. It's not a matter of some denominational dogma. It's not a matter of what I might think or say, but it's based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. In fact, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day, right here on Let's Face the Issues. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. And on the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, a very serious subject today, theological, doctrinal subject that I believe we need to recognize, analyze. Got seated around the round table here with me today, Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, and Brother Ken. We're going to be talking about, with a little dialogue and discussion, juxtaposed with your calls, comments, and your questions in relationship to the subject. And we'll be talking about, what is revival? How do we know when revival has taken place? Has revival taken place in the past that we can go back to and identify what has happened and what shall happen? Where do we find revival in the Scripture? Dr. Phelps is to my right, and then Dr. Davis and Brother Ken. So, Dr. Phelps, if you would, do kind of an opening statement for us before we get into the details of our subject today.
I'm so thankful that I have the privilege today to speak and give testimony of the goodness of God to me. God is so good. The Bible says the Lord is good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon him. And that's a truth found in the Word of God. Well, one of the statements that I find in the Scriptures about revival is found in Psalm 85, verse 6. And here's what it says. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And I believe that that should be my desire and the desire of God's people everywhere.
Absolutely. Dr. Davis, start us off with a brief introduction and not getting into the details yet of where we're going with what is revival.
Well, I want to say good morning, amen, once again, and thank God for being here, amen, to all of my family and friends, my bride of almost 40 years now, amen, my wife, amen, this morning, and each and every one that are listening to this program on today. And I would like to say I'm very grateful for this subject, because I can remember from the days of being a little boy when we used to go to the church as little toddlers, not even teenagers yet, and walk up to the windows of the church and peep inside to look at how the revival was going on when a well-known revivalist came to town, mm-hmm. one that were very well-known for living the life and preaching the word. When they would come and do a revival at the church, we would peep inside and watch the saints rejoicing under the power of God.
Amen.
So when we talk about revival, we need to understand, first, revival is for the saints. Mm-hmm. And it's God calling us back to a renewed commitment to walk with him.
Absolutely. Brother Ken, what say you in your introductory remarks?
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me on the broadcast today. When looking at this matter of revival, studying it out a little bit, I found it's a term rooted in the Old Testament. And Psalm 85:6, Habakkuk 3:2. And although there's been great moves of God in the New Testament, some of the definitions are the awakening or quickening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. Another one, an extraordinary movement of the Holy Spirit producing extraordinary results. So as it relates to the Holy Spirit, though, the way that he worked and acted in revival in the Old Testament, his ministry in the New Testament is completely different.
Right, absolutely. So we're going to examine those and look at the avenues and actions of what is called revival today and what it is not. Ladies and gentlemen, as we view the world through the lens of the biblical text, I believe it's necessary for us to recognize today the need for God's divine intervention. I believe it's time for us to recognize the condition of society. We see in our society today a lack, L-A-C-K, of morals, ethics, and values from a central biblicist worldview. I believe that is succinctly stated, and I believe it's a fact as we analyze it. As we look at life and see what is taking place today in America and even around the globe. In fact, in America today, and ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me to speak of this before, in America today, demographers tell us that one out of five churches will close in the next 24 months. That means about 1,500 churches a month. And so my statement is, and I was just talking with our men a moment ago before going on the air, if we're having revival, if we are witnessing revival in America today, why do we find the apostasy? Why do we find the falling away? Why do we find so many churches closing if we're in the era of having revival in our nation? Ladies and gentlemen, we continue to speak of the revival, and at the same time we're witnessing apostasy that the Bible talks about, the falling away. The falling away of the local New Testament church is what we see taking place. Christians are not, having the idea that we need to go down to the local New Testament church anymore. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, may I just be plain and abrupt. I'm in total disagreement with the para churches that's sucking the life out of the local New Testament churches. I'm a little bit upset with having what is so often called, and everybody, and I'm not using that term literally, but philosophically, everybody has got a new Bible study. Everybody's got a new unique insight on the Word of God. Everybody is inviting you to some special. Right now in our city, we're having a conflagration of those coming together of well-known speakers, well-known preachers, well-known evangelists, etc., etc., etc. And they're billing that as something that's wonderful and great, inviting Christians to come and to worship and to be there. That's pulling away from the local New Testament church. I'm adamantly opposed to that. I'm opposed to anything that will displace, undermine, or in some way overshadow the local New Testament church. And multitudes of organizational structures are doing that today and calling it having a revival. Multitudes of so-called believers are searching for some new thing. Most believers today are searching for some new ideology. Most believers today are searching for some new preacher, some new teacher that's found a nuance of something that no one else has seen before, that's brand new. In fact, I get a little upset when I see believers that are sermon sippers, as they used to be called. Some back during the days of the cassette tapes, they were called tape worms because they'd travel across the nation listening to different preachers, different speakers, and buying their tapes and going back home and listening to them. We're finding today it's the online philosophy that I'm going to go online and I'm going to find that one that's unique, that one that parts his hair just right, that one that's got the holes in his knees of his blue jeans and tattoos all over his ears and his nose and his arms. And somehow, some way, he's different, and I'm going to follow that one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been paying attention lately, we're noticing the apostasy, and also we're noticing the implosion because of moral failures, because of some that have been fake, phony, false prophetists and prophets that are telling you what God's told them that's not found any place in the Scripture. All of this is drawing away from and bringing about the closing of our churches across America. In fact, the Apostle Paul warned of the dangers in relationship to what would happen in the fourth chapter, 2 Timothy. Dr. Phelps, would you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4? 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1, 2, 3, and 4. The Apostle Paul charging Timothy.
It reads like this in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 and following. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables.
That's exactly, ladies and gentlemen, what we're seeing today. The Apostle Paul says, for the time will come. May I modify that without doing disservice to the Word of God? The time has come when they will not endure, put up with, tolerate sound, true, healing doctrine, teachings, but after their own lust, their own desires, their own cravings, they shall heap to themselves, that is, pile upon pile upon pile of the different teachers, if you will, having itching ears, and they shall turn away. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, mythos, myths. And we see that today, ladies and gentlemen, more than anything else that I've noticed of recent. And before we go further, just a moment or two, and we're going to open our telephone lines and ask you to join in the dialogue and discussion. Let me just say, ladies and gentlemen, what revival is not. Revival is not baptism. Hear me, revival is not baptism. Revival is not emotionalism. Revival is not emotionalism. Revival is not excitement in feelings. Revival is not manifested by some emotional upheaval. Revival, ladies and gentlemen, is not even mentioned in the Bible. Let me read to you a statement. The term revival itself does not appear in the Bible, but the concept can be related to biblical themes of spiritual renewal and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Many believe that revival is a work of the Holy Spirit and brings new life, listen to this, and brings new life into the church and leads a movement of grace among God's people. I think that's a pretty good statement about revival. What it is and what it is not. So that sets the stage. That sets the, puts the potatoes on the plate, if you will, for us to go from there and see what God's Word says and what we need to do. I believe Terry's on the line. Terry, go over to the question or comment, please.
Hi, gentlemen. I just wanted to say I thank God for being saved under a revival. And at that time, I was living in a neighborhood where they even smoked crack in the garbage can dumpster. And I was not afraid of going to hell. I was tired. And I knew about God because my daddy was a preacher. And when I went, the Holy Spirit touched my heart. And I was able to see someone come the next day to talk to me, to minister to me. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about collection. It was a revival, a restoration. And I thank God so much for that day, for that time. Because right now, I almost became a part of the apostasy. But I can't. I just can't because I need Jesus in my life even today. Because I'm still a sinner, you know?
Amen. And we're sinners saved by grace. Just grace. Because a person gets saved doesn't mean he's without sin anymore. But you touched on one thing, Terry, if I could jump in. You touched on one thing. You said it was restoration. That's revival. Restoration is revival is that one that is saved, that's fallen away from God, that has allowed sin to dominate, that realizes, recognizes the sin, repents of the sin, and returns to God. That's restoration. That's revival in the truest sense of anything you'd find in the Scripture. So it demands our recognition and our recognition of what is revival and what isn't. And I'm concerned today, because of seeing so many things taking place in so many of the parachurch organizations, so many of the home Bible studies, and some of these organizational structures that do not understand the Scripture, and yet they're flying like in a jumbo 777 full steam ahead, that's drawing away from the local New Testament church and causing the apostasy to grow greater and greater. So, Terry, it demands our prayer, our concern, and our recognition, and turning back to God is needed today. Thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Brother Davis on the line. Go over the question, a comment, please.
Brothers in Christ, because you just touched on something. I've got a high school diploma with about a third grade, fourth grade education, but revival is renewing of something that you have already had. Example is, David said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Somehow or another, David had lost that joy because of the conflicts and stuff that he had gone through. And I understand that. We suffer a lot of stuff today, and maybe some of our joy is taken away. Another example is this. If a person is considered drowned and he's renewed, he has revived the life that he had. But a newborn babe has never had this life, so there's a difference. Maybe the Holy Spirit will teach some to be born into the Spirit and have this life, but revival is something that you've already had that you have lost.
Absolutely, brother. I couldn't have said it better myself. You're on target with it. That's the thing. That's the key element, the key focus that I want our listeners to understand today. Revival is not emotionalism. Revival is not baptism. Revival is not having a good feeling and having the feelings to overtake. Revival is a recognition of sin, a repentance of sin, and returning back to God. That is real revival. And that's needed today, Brother Davis, more than anything I believe that you could name for the New Testament church and for America is for revival to set in. But thank
and those
you,
that have quit looking up, they better start looking up again.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. God bless you as we keep looking.
God bless
up.
You.
Amen. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis, jump in for just a moment. As you've heard what we've said thus far about what revival is not, let's talk about for just a moment what we're seeing today, some of the phenomena that's taking place today that I found so many people, even Christians, even pastors, want to point to as revival. And a preface to your response now, I spent a number of years on the road in what was called full-time evangelism. And I'd get a call from a pastor and he'd say, would you come and preach a revival meeting for next week or the following week or whatever the schedule. And I thought nothing about it. Okay, let's do that. But preaching a series of meetings, preaching a series of messages is not revival. It might equate and come to the fruition of having revival, but revival is not seeing people saved, though that's wonderful if they get saved during a series of preaching services. But what say you, Dr. Davis, about what we see taking place today that's undermining our local New Testament church, and they're calling it revival?
Well, let me say, first of all, be serious.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a plaything, and God is not a play toy. If you want to play with a toy, you need to go to Walmart and find your play toy.
Mm-hmm.
And buy that and play with it, because God is not someone to play with.
That's right.
Now, when you go to church, to any so-called revival, you can jump around with excitement and feel happy all you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But let me remind you, I just told you, don't fool yourself.
That's right.
Because revival cannot come. The good feeling, the rejoicing in God cannot come even to a believer unless conviction comes first.
Absolutely.
You have to see your spiritual condition and realize your need for the Savior in each and every area of your life and repent of the sin. Mm-hmm. What I'm seeing today is a lackluster performance by the church to live the life, and that's the reason why people are not being saved and revivals are not effective as they should be based upon the Word of God.
Absolutely.
So we don't need excitement. We don't need a lot of coming to the church and jumping and running around and shouting hallelujah, hallelujah. You don't know what you're praising God about yet.
Right.
If you've not repented of your sin.
Absolutely.
Listen, the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, John chapter 16, Jesus said it was expedient for him to go away. If he didn't, the Comforter wasn't going to come. But when he is come, verse 8, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Mm-hmm. Do not take this thing lightly.
That's right.
If you are a saint, realize revival is intended to help you realize your spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever dependence upon God. And your need for a Savior. So if conviction doesn't happen first, you're just jumping around like an empty vessel. You are sounding brass in a tinkling cymbal.
Absolutely. We see so much of that today. Brother Ken, talk for just a moment about the need for revival in our nation. And what do we see as a result of the LACK, L-A-C-K? What's happening in our nation, in our churches, because the LACK are revival?
Well, when I look at the current claims of revival, what needs to happen is people need to wake up and understand that there's this massive counterfeit mm-hmm. to gospel ministry that's in the world.
Yes.
And these current claims of revival, you see these auditoriums, arenas, even these modern churches packed with people, and it looks like a music concert from the world. The colored lights, the large bands, the worship teams. And these claims of revival, they're saying with these headlines, hundreds are baptized after this music concert. And there's just many, many serious issues with this. And it's a synthetic move, not of God, because it's primarily based on powerful emotional music. Mm-hmm. And the modern musicians, the modern church, their staffs, they're experienced and emotional designers that just don't hope for a reaction. They engineer it.
Yes.
And the exaggeration produces this thing called sentimentalism. It's an enjoyment based on the feeling of an experience rather than the truth of it. Mm-hmm. And it's a big seller in modern society in the Western world. And it's one who desires to have the luxury of the emotion without paying for it. And you see these... the music and the worship, and it creates the second condition of the parable of the sower. You can have this massive response to this joyful, emotional, which is called out in the stony ground, and you will have scores of the seed jump up immediately,
right.
But they fall away immediately. And this word joy is the Greek word chara, and it was... the result of the Greek theatrical, rhetorical, and music concerts of the first century. And you could create this emotional response, but it's not the truth.
It is what you would call being something, emotions being ginned up and making what looks like a decision. And I think, and it's so sad that we see much of this taking place today, and it's being pointed to by many, many, many so-called scholars in theological circles being pointed to as a modern-day revival. In just a moment, after each one's had an opportunity to discuss this a little, we're going to go back to Azusa Street, 1906. We're going to go back to the four major so-called Great Awakenings. We'll look at what happened then, compare that to what's happening now, and ask the question, what is revival? That's the focus. Dr. Phelps, what say you? I would like to suggest an answer to that question. What is real revival? Mm-hmm. I believe that it's a supernatural.
WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL.